This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm John.
And this week we are talking about Tales of the Empire.
Yes, we had Tales of the Jedi, a combination of all the Jedis that we came across, like Ahsoka, Dooku, Yaddle. Yoda was weird for some reason, talking backwards for some reason. And then we had, just those three.
Well, you know, it was mostly about Ahsoka and Dooku, but you know, Yaddle showed up, Anakin was in there, various cameos.
Yeah, and now we've gone to the dark side, the Tales of the Empire. And what's interesting is that it's given us loads of context for the Mandalorian in some form of way, but we get to learn about Morgan and then Barriss. So it was really interesting to explore, and it just gave us context for the story before Mandalorian, you know, how the place was overrun by Morgan and the Empire secretly. And then we get to see Barriss in this, I've forgotten the name of the place, but it's in Obi-Wan. So it's really interesting. What about you, Tom? What do you think about the show?
Yeah, well, that place is the Fortress Inquisitorius. And
I was about to say the Inquisitor's line.
What I really liked about that location is that it's kind of half built. And so they don't necessarily have to commit to the design that we see in Jedi Fallen Order or the design we see in Kenobi. They kind of give us a little bit of both. And we also see, you know, like in the sky, we see Mustafar and the other planets as we see in Fallen Order. And then there are other shots where it's more cloudy, like we see in Kenobi. What I really liked about just that design choice is that it kind of allowed for both things to exist and not contradict each other. One of the things that frustrated me in Tales of the Jedi, especially I think episode 6, which is the one with Ahsoka versus the Inquisitor, that undercuts and undermines and retcons the Ahsoka novel. And this series, just in that very small aspect with the Fortress Inquisitorius, we get to see something different that allows both things to exist. It doesn't retcon on it. And obviously, there is a small retcon in this series anyway. Like, you know, you can't escape from the retcons, but I really did enjoy that little just detail. And we get to see a bunch of the Inquisitors, the fourth sister and Marek, and the one from Tales of the Jedi, who I believe is the sixth brother. And I just love the idea that, like, because we've had comics that have showed the Inquisitors very early days and all them training, but since then we've invented new Inquisitors. And so instead of retroactively inserting them in, they say, oh no, they had their own other thing. But I think the best thing about this format, you know, Tales of, is that it can shine a spotlight on smaller characters. I think this is what these series should be for. And I think that the Tales of the Jedi suffered a little bit because I don't think the Ahsoka stuff added that much to her story. But I think Barriss and Morgan are both characters who, you know, they've shown up in the past and they weren't developed as much as they could have been. And this is like the perfect chance to kind of add a little bit of texture. I thought that was really great to see.
Yeah, I agree with that. That is amazing to see Star Wars, because it's massive. It's like, how do you juggle all these characters and, you know, how to see different perspectives? But what's brilliant is that we get to see the perspectives of the smaller characters, and it just adds so much depth into their backstory. And one thing that I really liked was how the characters in this one, you get to understand them, what happened before the events of the series, and it just adds so much depth. Yeah, I agree with that.
For sure. You know, like, the format of the shows are really compelling, and there are moments when they really are adding some really interesting stuff. The one thing that I struggle with a lot is every episode is so short that there is no true meaningful time to explore any of the characters and, you know, go in depth into any of their feelings. You know, for once, I'm actually glad that this wasn't released weekly, because I feel I'd be so disappointed if I had to wait a week for about 13 minutes of what feels like half a story, half a chapter, half an episode each time. The moments that should feel impactful are fantastic, and they are really, really well done, but they just come too soon. The conflict is simplified and the characters' arcs, they just don't feel meaningful. I think the struggle is fleeting. Each episode really should be 10 minutes longer, 20 minutes, maybe even 30 minutes. The precedent that we have so far is we're only getting one of these shows every other year. So why not go a little bit further with them? You know, we barely get to see Barriss as an Inquisitor before she leaves. We barely get to see that transition into and out of the Inquisitorius. And from Morgan, we barely see her transition to a place of power and how she learns to kind of contain but still harbor her anger. We see it in small moments. We don't see it in any meaningful way. Maybe this show should even be more than 6 episodes. Maybe we should have had 4 from each character. It just felt like it was half there. It was really great, but it wasn't quite digging into the core of what it could have been.
Yeah, a great example of that is the bridge between episode 1 and episode 2. And it just felt like a really weird whiplash because it's like a huge defining moment to explore Morgan as a character. She's like, I've led these people with me to get some weapons to defend ourselves, but I led them into danger and got some of them killed. So it's like, okay, let's see what she learned. And then we go into many years later where she is a leader of this place and she is pitching an idea for like a new ship for the Empire. And it's like, okay, what did she learn from that? Did she get any idea for that moment? Because it just felt really weird to have like many years later. And it's just like, okay, what is the missing context for that in some form of way? So I don't know. It was just weird. But we did get to see General Grievous.
Yes.
Was that special? You know, that animated special where there was a character that looked a lot like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. And he somehow Grievous had like a coughing fit over the years. So it's just like, there he is before he was coughing. But it was scary to hear him with his voice. But yeah, it's just like the bridges between episodes just felt like a huge disconnect between time. But we do get to see like an idea of a character development in episode 5. That was great to explore Barriss. And then she's seeing this dark side for, I forgot the other character's name, but she killed an entire village to find the Jedi. And then at the end, she doesn't want to kill the Jedi. So she goes on to a different path. And it really reminded me in a really good way about the Invisions in the first episode with the Samurai one. And it just felt like that path for the Sith or her, because she was brought up as a Jedi, but then turned into a Sith. And that is so intriguing and such a conflicting internal conflict. And it's like a defining moment as a character, like which path does she really choose? And that you can see that well at the end of the series. So I would say her story is so interesting. At that point in the story, I was like, okay, this is really good. But then with Morgan, I just didn't feel any impact. I didn't feel anything that was just like, okay, we do get to see her as a character, but what else? What led to this? We do get to see Thrawn, which is really cool, but why is she a character? I know what it means, but it's like, what makes her here in the Star Wars universe? I mean, it's great to see that backstory, but give us some depth.
Yeah, for sure. It speaks to a similar issue that we had of Tales of the Jedi. It felt like we had this really compelling story for Dooku, and it added layers to his character that we'd never seen on screen, and it makes you think about Dooku's character in the prequels and in the Clone Wars massively in a completely different way. Whereas the Ahsoka stuff doesn't really add anything. There's not really much in that we hadn't already been told. It felt like a waste of a slot. And while I feel like Morgan is not necessarily a waste of a slot, it definitely is lesser than the Barriss stuff. The Barriss stuff is so much more compelling, so much more emotional. It feels like that's the story they want to tell. And I think you bring up an interesting point. So the character that you're talking about was the fourth sister, Lynn, who she was introduced for Kenobi, and she was just kind of like a background Inquisitor. She was just there to fill out that spot, much like the fifth brother was in that show. That in Kenobi was fine, but it felt like a bit of a weird thing to introduce an Inquisitor for just, you know, for no reason, for that Inquisitor to not do anything. And so for this, we get to see her so much more. We get to see what she's like. We get to see her on missions. We get to see her attitude towards the Inquisitorius, towards the Jedi. And we see the darkness inside her and that there is a struggle there. And what I liked a lot about this series was some of the smaller elements. We get characters that we haven't seen a lot of, like outside of Barriss and Morgan, like you said, Grievous, who I think is scary for the first time since that 2D Clone Wars that you were talking about. That was really cool. We see Captain Pelion, and what kind of Imperial is he under Thrawn? I mean, even though that breaks canon, and you know, like, I don't think they should be together at that point. I don't know how that works, but it is lovely to see him again. The fourth sister, as I say. And I think that's like the second benefit of a show like this. Even like Rook showed up from Rebels. Really good to see him. He has a little duel with Morgan and Wing on Morgan's planet. Like we get to see a little bit more of him. Like in The Mandalorian, when Morgan is defeated, he is the person who takes over. And we get to see like, well, you know, what was he like when he was a bit younger? We also get to see more from the Grand Inquisitor. They brought back Jason Isaacs to voice him from Rebels. Really, really fun stuff. Like we could get so much more of iconic background characters. Like I'm a Gundai. Can you imagine? He could be in every episode and we just don't know. He was there always.
No, I'm
in
a
the shadows from the very beginning.
I mean, I'm a Gundai again. No,
I got you.
No, why is the fire alarm going off?
What?
Okay, well, okay, for listeners, I have a mini fire alarm.
And it's going off. That's okay. The I'm a Gundai alarm.
They know that it's there. Oh my God. So, yes, if we could see more characters like I'm a Gundai or the Droid. Because this is a really interesting series to explore smaller characters. I've got to give praise to that because it's really hard to work around small characters.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Tales of the Jedi is decent, but episodes 4 and 5, that's the episode with Yaddle, it's the episode where Ahsoka is training against all the clones. They make all the difference. They really stand out. And I don't think there is a clear standout here. I think this series is better and it's more coherent. But it's still just scratching the surface of what this format, what this Tales of series can do and can be. There's some really great moments that we could have gone deeper into. It's like the moment at the end of episode 1 and the moment at the end of episode 3, the beginning and the end of Morgan's story, she stands behind fire, behind the ruins. At first, it's the ruins of her life on Dathomir and this idea that her own fear. I really liked the titles of the episodes for Morgan. They are The Path of Fear, The Path of Anger, The Path of Hate, just like the dark side, just like what Yoda says. Fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, you know, hate leads to suffering. We see that in Morgan's story. We see that her own fear, the thing that drives her to want to get weapons, is what kills those other sisters, what leads to her being abandoned, what leads to her burning down everything around her. And then she actively burns down the forest on Corvus. She causes that own suffering within herself and she is kind of consumed by the anger and the hate. And we see eventually in Ahsoka, when Morgan meets her demise, Thrawn says, "For the Empire," and she says, "For Dathomir," and she dies never really getting that peace, never really getting that moment. And I love that this show could fill in those gaps. We get a little bit more of that. Barriss, I think, is a little bit more difficult because we got the beginning of her story and this is kind of telling the end of her story. Like, did she survive? Did she die at the end? Like, that would have been a really interesting death, but it feels like this format works better when we know the ending already. So like for Morgan and for Dooku, we know their deaths. And so this is just giving us context behind their motivations. But for Barriss, we knew her origin. We didn't know her death. So is this that? I'm not quite sure. And I'm not quite sure that we see quite enough of that. With her as an Inquisitor, we get one mission. And I don't think that was her first mission. Again, what if there were 4 episodes per character? What if each episode was 20 minutes or 30 minutes? We could really dig into some of the themes they present. And I think that's just what is keeping it from being as amazing as I know that it can be. And it's a really beautiful show. There is some stunning animation. All the environments and the colors are as beautiful as... There's a particular moment in episode 4 when Barriss is sweating. And it's just a breathtaking amount of detail. There's something about water when it's animated, like something like that. I'm just so fascinated by it. It's fantastic to have that kind of animation. Yeah, the music is also brilliant. And it's a lot of those elements of Star Wars animation that I think these shorts are highlighting. And it makes you think this is such a beautiful way to express the saga. And I really hope that they keep on making animated shows. We did a video on The Bad Batch season 3. And to echo what we said in that, I really hope that they continue doing animated because this is brilliant. It's just, it doesn't dig deep enough for it to really leave an emotional reaction. And I know a lot of people who are so happy to see Barriss again and did feel those emotions. And that's amazing. And I watched it 2 times. And on the second time, I did feel it a little bit more. I just feel like maybe I'm just greedy. I want more. Like Anakin, I want more, and I know I shouldn't.
Yeah, I really hope we do get to see more animation in the Star Wars universe. Visions, that got a lot of attention towards what Star Wars could be, you know, in terms of different directions and style. You could really see that, you know, for the lore of the Clone Wars series, the Bad Batch series. I haven't seen The Acolyte yet, but there was an actor.
Charlie Barnett.
Yeah. He was talking about the Bad Batch and he was just so excited to talk about that. You could clearly see that there are people, they love the animation, the Star Wars and the storytelling. You clearly can't do a lot of it live action in an expansive universe. It's just animation that just gives it that freedom. I'm hoping, yes. Please continue with animation, please.
It seems what they're doing is 1 year we get Visions, the next year we get Tales, next year we get Visions, next year we get Tales. So we're kind of alternating. So I'm hoping that 2025, we get some more Visions, and then 2026, we get some more Tales. I hope that continues.
Tom, I just realized, you told me that wasn't I'm a Gundai in Tales of the Jedi.
Hey, that was I'm a Gundai. What do you mean?
No, it wasn't I'm a Gundai. I remember this.
I don't believe this.
You told me, like, recently, this is recent, and you were like, this is not I'm a Gundai. You were looking at, like, Jedi Wiki.
No. It's not possible. It's not possible. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. This is my... Oh, God. Oh, God, no! No! This is my whole philosophy. You've just burnt it down. Like Morgan burning the fires of Corvus, you burned down my soul.
I just remembered. Oh, I just God. Remembered it. You would like text me like, oh, John.
I buried that memory.
You were like, no, this doesn't exist, okay? Keep it in the archives.
Impossible. Perhaps the archives are incomplete. Oh, it's God. Funny. It's not funny to me. This is serious. Any long-time listeners of the podcast may know the I'm a Gundai saga. And I will reassure you, this isn't going to stop me. Just because our first meeting of I'm a Gundai wasn't him, that doesn't matter. I will do this until the ends of the earth if I must.
If you go to like Star Wars Celebration and someone just comes up to you, I'm a Gundai, was not in that.
I need to get a shirt that says I'm a Gundai lives. Do a Dave Filoni.
Oh my God. And you get a figure of I'm a Gundai.
Yes. Oh, dude. That's the thing that I want. I have a tiny one, like a 3D printed I'm a Gundai, but I need like a proper Sideshow Collectibles I'm a Gundai. Oh, that would be so cool. Anyway.
I can't believe you forgot that.
It's trauma, John. Sure? I buried it in my mind. But yeah, in terms of Tales of the Empire, I do think it was a good show. I just think that, like, yeah, like, hopefully the next Tales of will be even better. So, you know, if Tales of the Jedi was good and Tales of the Empire was better, hopefully the next one kind of really realizes that potential. What is the next one that you want to see? What Tales of series do you want? What?
That's a great question. I would love to see maybe more Tales of the Empire with the villains in, apart from Thrawn, in Ahsoka.
Oh, Baylan and Shin.
Yes, I would love to see something like that in Tales of the Empire or Tales of the Sith. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I think they could even fit into Tales of the Jedi because Baylan used to be a Jedi himself. So that would be really, really compelling. I thought that was definitely going to happen. But then after Ray Stevenson passed, I mean, that was recently the 1 year anniversary. It's devastating. I don't know what they're going to do with that character still. But I must say that, yeah, like, that's a really compelling angle to take. I think Tales of the Clones could also be great. I said it in the Bad Batch video, but 3 episodes about Echo, 3 episodes about Emery, that would be so fascinating. And I think those are two characters that really could do with a little bit more exploration. But whatever they choose to do, it could be good. And there's a lot of potential here. I'd love to see maybe some sequel era characters get into this and not just characters that Dave Filoni knows and has worked with before. I know this is like his show and he made it so he could return to a lot of those themes, but I feel like it could go beyond that 20-year, 30-year period. But yeah, so Tales of the Empire, what are you going to give it out of 10?
I'm going to give it a 7.
Yeah, I think first time around I would have said 6, but after giving it a rewatch, I think I'm going to go for 7.
It does feel like a dense story, but overall mm-hmm. It does tell a good story in like with the characters. So yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it's enjoyable and that's much better than it being a boring show.
Are you excited for the future of Star Wars, Tom?
Always, John. Always. The first 2 episodes of The Acolyte, I mean, we're going to cover it on the pod. There's a lot to say, but They're cooking. And
okay.
It's exciting. It's got a lot of potential, I must say. So I'm really excited to see what happens with that.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you enjoyed it, you can give us a like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, you can follow us and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, we are doing more animation. We're going to be talking about Inside Out 2.
Oh, my God. I did see a clip of Inside Out 2 where you had like a video game character.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. So it was interesting to see that animation.
Yeah, and you can send us an email at outsidefilmpod@gmail.com. We'll be recording next Saturday, so let us know your thoughts on Inside Out 2 by then. And we'll answer it right here on the podcast next week.
Yes, and you can follow us on Instagram at @outoftimefilmpod to see our incredible thumbnails from St. Asville, on Twitter for more thoughts from Tom and me, and TikTok to see editor clips, which are all also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. And you can find links to that all in the description below. Thanks to L. James Mayer for the excellent theme, and Roland Phillips for vocals as always. And I think that's everything. Yeah.
Woo!
Take what you've given.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.